Wednesday, 17, February 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I want to welcome you to today's broadcast. By the way, this broadcast is targeted for midweek. I hope you're making plans, but all possible, to be in a good, fundamental, Bible-believing church this midweek time. The Calvary Hour is a ministry of the Calvary Baptist Church located in New Bern, North Carolina. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. At the present time, we're in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. So if you have an opportunity to take your Bible and turn with us there, we would appreciate that very much. We're looking at the letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor. And tying this to Ezekiel chapter 8, where God would show Ezekiel why the children of Israel had to go into captivity, and God is pointing out the sins of five different areas of the church age, as well as to these five different churches. You say, well, aren't there seven churches? Yes, there are seven churches that are written to, but two of these churches did not have to be rebuked. We were looking at Church of Smyrna yesterday, and on yesterday's broadcast, and the church at Smyrna did not have to be rebuked because they were suffering. And there's something about suffering. Suffering purges us from a lot of sin. Now, that doesn't mean that suffering saves us. Not at all. We're saved through the suffering of Christ. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. But I'll tell you, when suffering comes our way, it causes us to realize there's a difference between conviction and simply preference. There's some things we just like to fight over because we prefer over them. They're not worth fighting over. But these things that are genuine convictions, then we are to be willing to serve God with and to stand with the Lord and to stand even through suffering if that's where the Lord leads us. And Peter wrote, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, if we suffer as a Christian, we should not be ashamed. Now we're coming to the third church that's listed here in John chapter 2, and I believe the third part of the church age, and that is the church at Pergamos. And to the angel, or to the messenger of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitanes, which things also I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against thee with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, save he that receiveth it. You know, the grace and kindness of our Lord is wonderful. Even these churches that he had to rebuke, he had some good things to say about them. He said, concerning the church at Pergamos, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Man, they were serving in a difficult place, where Satan had his headquarters. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr. That is saying a lot. Who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Now you say, preacher, where was that? Well, it's addressed to the church at Pergamos. But I'm simply saying this, where you find the forces of darkness, you find a real battlefield, my friend. Here in New Bern, North Carolina, over the years, we have had a lot of spiritual darkness in this city. Things that we're certainly not thankful for, not proud of. But one time, this was the seat of witchcraft. The school of witchcraft was here, and there's certainly still witches here in this area. A lot of Satanism, a lot of the lodges with dark vows and secret vows and so forth. There's a lot of things that go on around here. But God be praised. So far as I know, we're not where Satan's seat is. But we certainly do know something about the problems that the church at Pergamos had. He said in verse 14, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication." Now, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, you're aware that when Israel was coming out of Egypt and she wanted to enter into the promised land, there was a king of Moab there by the name of Balak, and he knew that Israel was coming. He knew that Balaam was also a prophet, and he figured that Balaam would be for sale. And so he sent messengers to Balaam to have him come and curse the people of Israel. Well, Balaam came. I don't have time to go into all of that, but he came in disobedience to the Lord. He came in the permissive will of God and not the direct will of God. And he would go up and he would look at Israel, and instead of cursing them, he would bless them. Well, that upset old King Balak just a whole lot. But here was where the problem was, and this is where compromise really gets God's people into trouble. Now, some people say, well, you can't find anything wrong with the message of Balaam. I understand that. Balaam said, "I'll say what God told me to say." I'm paraphrasing it now. He said, "I'll say what God tells me to say," and he would. But he was appearing with Balak and setting an example for the children of Israel, which would lead them into eating things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. I wish we had time to really get into this scripture, because this is so pertinent today. There are people who think that the great ecumenical movement is one of the greatest things that ever happened. Let's get everybody together and have one religion and so forth. Dear friend, there are even people today who are trying to mix Christianity with Islam. They're calling it Chrislam. And dear friend, that's an impossibility. You two cannot walk together except they be agreed. And then you can be assured of this, at any time you try to mix truth with error, error is going to prevail. I know this sounds a little corny to some of you people, but dear friend, you cannot throw a white glove into a mud hole and make that mud hole to be glovey. It just will not work that way. No, the glove, the white glove, is always going to be messed up. Anytime you try to mix truth and error together, truth is going to have to surrender its virtues. And that's what happened with Balaam. He would go up on the mountain to curse Israel, but he would never do it because God told him not to. But they were offering sacrifices together. That is Balaam and Balak. Balak was just a wicked old pagan king. And Balaam would say, "Here, let's have a sacrifice on this mountain. Let's have a sacrifice on that mountain." Well, the people were watching all this. And you know what they were saying? Well, if Balaam can get up there and worship with Balak, we can worship with Balak's people. Now, what was the worship of Balak's people like? It was, first of all, idolatrous, and then it was adulterous. Again, idolatry and the sins of the flesh go together. That's what brought us into this scripture. Women weeping for Tammuz over in Ezekiel chapter 8. And of course, when Josiah would try to clean up the temple in his day over in 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 7, the women were there with the homosexuals weavings for the grove. I'm telling you, dear friend, they brought their wickedness to the house of God. And any time you see godly leaders that are worshiping together in ecumenical worship with those that are ungodly, God's people are going to become confused, and they'll say, basically, if it's hard for them to do it, it's hard for us to do it. Now, as an American citizen, I can serve with any and everybody who has a love for this country and is willing to serve them. But when it comes to the work of God, dear friend, two cannot walk together except there be agreed, and we cannot sacrifice our standards. We cannot sacrifice the precious word of God in order to have some kind of ecumenical union. Well, it's time for this broadcast to close today. This broadcast is targeted for midweek. I hope you can be in a good fundamental Bible-believing church. If you cannot, please join us at 7 o'clock Eastern Time via the Internet. www.calbapt.org. That's www.calbapt.org. But if it's at all possible, you be in a good, fundamental, Bible-believing local church. It's wonderful that we can share together these messages via the video, but it's nothing like being in the presence of the people of God. May our Lord bless you, make your channel a blessing. Please join us next broadcast if you can.